Well, I've got some announcements for you. We're still finishing up Abundant Sharing there, are we? Must be a lot of $5 bills, huh? Just kidding. Do you guys in the back couple rows mind if I start announcements? Luann doesn't want me to. Okay. Oh, I can? Your name's now going to be on the CD, Luann. Aren't you embarrassed? That's Luann, ladies and gentlemen. It's a So I can start now? Okay, thank you. Just have a couple of announcements for you. This coming Saturday, I believe it's this coming Saturday, the 19th, that would be this coming Saturday, we've got our men's prayer breakfast. I'm told the insiders call it the MPB. That's this coming Saturday, 9 a.m. You guys who have been a part of that know how wonderful it is, and that's going to be here and on the 19th, okay? Teen camp. How many of you are going? How many of you are registered? Oh. You know, the registration is, there's no deadline because we're into freedom and grace around here. So no deadline, just walk, you know, whenever you, no. There is a deadline, right? Do you guys know what it is? Or just your moms and dads know what it is? Huh? Your moms and dads know? Okay. When? When is it? May 15th, that's right. That's like eons away from now, seems like it, doesn't it? But suddenly, guess what? May 14th is going to come up, and you're going to say, oh, teen camp. So be thinking now. Okay. I know teens don't need this kind of reminder, but just so tell your parents to be thinking now about that May 15th deadline, because we don't want you to miss out on teen camp, okay? And that is, I think, Kathy, that's in our hands on May 15th, right? It's not like, well, the dog took it to the mailbox. It's in our hands on May 15th. So be thinking about it now, even though this seems way early for you. Be thinking about it now, or more importantly, tell mom and dad to make it a priority, even though it's a month away. All right? Would you do that just for me? Okay, good. And I also wanted to remind you that we're at the point now of considering whether or not to do an outreach house next year, and I'm sure hoping we get to. We just have some wonderful saints who've talked to me about being a part of that. And it's such a delightful, delightful time for all involved. It's delightful for me and Kathy and others of us to visit. It's really delightful for those who are involved. And, you know, I bet you it's delightful for those who get the word spoken to them by those in the outreach house, isn't it? Yeah, there's a few of you in here. And as you know, we take a group of people who want to grow in God's word and give them the opportunity, you know, in a way that can, for a year, put them in an environment where they really maybe are challenged to believe God more than they would be at home with the same old job, the same old stuff, you know, moms and dads there to bail you out just in case, put you in a situation where you have to believe God the way I trust you really want to. And some wonderful things occur in the process in terms of growth of trusting in our Heavenly Father, as well as growth and learning to love others in the body of Christ, no matter how doggone different they are, huh? And that's the greatest thing that happens. Like I've said previously, maybe we shouldn't call it an outreach house because great outreach occurs, but I glorify God for the changes in people's lives that I see. You know, from sort of, I wouldn't say vacillating, but you know, young people who go out there a little bit unsure and come back so grounded and so certain of God's love for them and the power of God in their lives. And so, you know, that's going to be available. And sometime within the next month, I'm going to sit down and with some of our leaders evaluate whether we're going to do another one of those this year. So if it's something that you have considered and are interested in, please let me know in writing, not virtual writing on a piece of paper that you hand to me, so that when we do make those decisions and sit down and talk to people about what's involved, that you don't miss out on that if it's something you want to be a part of, okay? And I believe that's it as far as announcements go. We had a fantastic day in God's Word yesterday. It was a unique day in God's Word because it involved not only the scriptural but the practical as well. Those of you who are here know what I'm talking about. And oh, goodness, how thankful I got for the manifestation of speaking in tongues as well as the other manifestations. And as those of you who are here know, and the rest of you will soon find out, I asked a man who I love dearly and a good friend of our church here in Central Ohio to come out and teach this day in God's Word. And, you know, I thought just to keep him nervous and wondering when he's going to have to start, I'll talk a little bit more. But there's really something that came up in conversation that I thought would be profitable to explain to all of you. Several people told me how delightful it was. They basically the way they put it was, boy, it's great to hear somebody else teach. And then, I don't mean it that way. But I knew what they meant, you know, and it was delightful for me as well. I wanted to explain to you that, you know, that's something else. We occasionally on Sundays I let you in on some of the things we do and why we do them. And here's another one that I thought might be profitable for people to know about, because, you know, there are many places, many churches whose general philosophy is we've got to keep things different. We've got to keep things novel to keep people interested. You know, what can we do different now? What can we do? Oh, let's find a teacher that's out there somewhere. Oh, that'll keep people in. A new face, a new message, a new, you know, yesterday we got flyers for a seminar on Genesis and a seminar on Revelation. And I thought, boy, I just wish they understood everything in between. But you know, I understand that. And many places, God bless them, they're sincere, but they're desperate, and they've bought into this theory of if you don't keep it interesting, people will stop coming. They'll go someplace else that's more interesting. And you know, that's very true. There are people who will not come unless it's interesting. Probably most people won't come unless it's interesting. But really, the question is, what's interesting to you? New faces and novelty, or the Word of God? We've endeavored to operate basically from day one in this outfit, understanding that what we wanted to build upon was the Word of God, and that some were going to find the Word of God plenty interesting and exciting enough to keep coming back week after week, no matter who teaches it. Of course, there are always going to be some who come and they sit there, that's pretty boring, and that blesses me, because really, they're in the wrong place then. Because some of us don't find this boring at all. And if someone else does, then we're happy to tell them, you know, maybe you'd be happier down here. They're teaching an exciting seminar on the book of Revelation. And it's never been our priority to keep things interesting and to keep things different. And so when we bring someone in to teach like this, it's not just, I mean, take it from me, there are dozens, probably hundreds of guys out there would be happy to be invited anywhere. And in fact, do their best to invite themselves here. Call me, you know, I'm available for the next 3 weekends. So there are plenty of opportunities. Not just Bob's the only poor guy we get to come here. But here was something, a subject that we knew needed to be taught clearly from God's Word. And when that comes up, the first question we ask is, who can teach this accurately? Who can teach this thoroughly? Who can teach it so it lines up with the Word of God? And then, is there somebody who could teach it accurately and also has a passion for the subject? If I've got to make the choice, I'll take accuracy. But if you can teach it accurately from the Word and also have a real passion for the subject, how much better that is. And as we realized we needed to do a day on speaking in tongues, there was nobody I thought could do this better than our brother Bob. And I had to talk him into it. He's not sending out flyers. Hey, I'm available for... This is the only time you've taught this, right? I don't think you've even taught it in San Diego. You know, Bob oversees a local church in San Diego like we have here in Central Ohio. He takes care of the people. He and his wife, Jeannie, take care of the people. If you haven't met her, by the way, she's a gem. Make sure you meet her before you leave. They take care of the people with God's Word on a daily basis. They minister God's Word to them. He doesn't travel around, you know, teaching that. In many ways, that's so easy. You know, you travel around, teach. Everybody gets excited. Oh, you're the greatest teacher I ever heard. And you walk away feeling like you've accomplished something, but it's the leaders of the local church who are left there to do the cleanup after you're gone. And they're the ones who really, and I so admire these two and what they do out there, and he's not in the habit of traveling around and teaching, so I had to call him and ask, and both of us had to give it a lot of thought and prayer into whether we should do this, and if so, when, how it should be structured, because it wasn't about keeping you excited. It was about teaching God's Word accurately, and in this case, we had the joy of knowing of a man who would not only teach it accurately, but also had a great passion for the subject as well. And I wanted you to understand that. We're not interested in novelty, because number one, once the leaders of a church start thinking that their job is to keep things new, it gets awful excruciating on those leaders, and a few of us leaders in this church have been down that road, and we don't want to go down that road again, and you're not going to make us. But also we found that it's the Word of God that's given us life. It's the Word of God that's rejuvenated. That's all we want out of this doggone thing, is the Word of God as purely and as accurately as possible. That's why we had this day in God's Word. That's why we were so blessed to have this man come out and teach it. And you're going to be so blessed to have him teach you the Word again this morning. But first, we're going to sing a little song. I want you to stand up, because you're going to want to stand when Bob comes up, right? So I'll give you the chance to now, and we can turn to what number, Joylynn? I forget. Number 20. Before Bob teaches us that word, let's sing number 20, God Gave Us His Word, okay? Linfeld.
Thank you, thank you, sir. Brother. Well, God bless your wonderful hearts. Sure wonderful to be with you. Please be seated. You know, I just thought about what I'm going to be sharing with you. That had a great connection. And I should have had you just stay standing, because what I'm going to talk about is being seated. And but first of all, I want to just bring you greetings and love from your brothers and sisters from San Diego, California. They send their love and blessings to you, and we're in one body of Christ here, right? So when that trumpet sounds, we're all going to be together, and that'll be tremendous. I want to thank Tom for the audacity to invite me to come here and share the word. Have great love and respect for that man. So, okay, maybe I should be seated here. Okay, one of the most important keys in understanding and then applying God's word is the biblical usage of words. You know, we use words how we determine to use them, and God in His Word uses words how He determines to use them too. We might see a word He puts in there, we might have another thought that this is what it means, this is what He's trying to communicate. But we need to understand God's Word on how He uses them. And we use the term biblical usage of words. And we're going to talk about one word or a group of words, and it's sit or seated. Okay, we're not going to talk about sit in the sense of speaking in tongues, which would be great to do that again. That was a joy to share on speaking in tongues yesterday, because, boy, when I first heard myself speak in tongues, and with the knowledge of God's word that I had, I knew what it, you know, it says and what it meant to speak in tongues, that I knew for a, just knew that I knew that I knew that I was born again. It was just the greatest feeling. And so I do have a passion for tongues, speaking in tongues. So real thankful we could have some time in the Word to do that yesterday. Do you remember the motto? What's our motto here? We were going to help us remember to do this a lot. Right, speaking in tongues much more than ever before. So I trust you'll do that much more, speak in tongues much more. Okay, let's talk about sitting. And I just saw this empty chair here. Can I borrow this here? You know, when we talk about sitting, we talk about putting a certain part of our anatomy down in a chair, right? Okay, so I'm seated. And it could mean, you know, some other things too, right? You know, if I'm working, doing things, and I'm finished, I might sit down to rest. I'm finished, right? Things are accomplished. Also, we use the word to be seated or sit in regard to a position, okay? A position of authority, okay? So let's say this is God right here. And if I could be seated right here, hey, that's pretty good, right? And that would have great significance and perhaps some power that I could use because of how the proximity to my Heavenly Father. So let's take a look at some scriptures. Psalms 47 first. Psalm 47, verse 7. We're going to look in the word where we see the word sit, seated, has the meaning of a place of authority. And we'll see some of the other parts of that too, but my emphasis today is in light of authority. For God is the King, Psalm 47, 7. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Okay, so boy, with that being communicated, we know that God has great authority, right? Let's take a look at Psalms 110. We're going to look at different examples here. Psalm 110. Verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies my footstool. So to sit there at my right hand would bring great authority, power to that person. All right? That's what's being communicated. Isaiah 16. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 16. See what we've got there. 16. Verse 5. 16:5, Isaiah. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness, or, you know, prompt in equity. So he's seated there, judging and seeking judgment. He sits, shall sit upon it in truth. So there he sits in truth, and he's judging. This is the place of authority to wield great power. All right, let's look at Esther. Esther. You know where Esther is in the Bible? It's a couple books before Psalms. Esther, what's between Esther and Psalms? Job, all right. Esther 3. Esther 3, verse 1. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Okay, now did he literally put the, know, the seat above all the princes? No, we know it's used a little differently like that. His seat was a little bit higher, right? So the one in authority always sits a little bit higher. Have you ever been convicted of a crime and they take you to court? And, of course, none of you would, that would apply to none of you. You might have been in the jury box or something like that. But the judge is seated up high, isn't he? Because he's the one of authority. All right, let's go to Revelations. Let's all got to see what Revelations has to say here. Chapter 3. It's so great to be with all of you here. And I was going to make the statement, it's great to see some old faces here, but that might be, you know, the usage of that word and might be taken wrong. But beautiful faces that I haven't seen for a while. So sure great to see wonderful saints that I've known through the years and see them again here. All right, where were we? Revelations chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant, Revelations 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. That's quite a seat, right? We see this is going to be significant in that it'll mean great authority. Okay? Now, the Greek word for to sit, simply to sit down, is kathizo. Kathizo. Pardon my Greek pronunciations. I'm not a Greek scholar here, but I believe it's kathizo or close to it. So that's the simple word that means to sit in the Greek, and that's what's used here twice in this verse 21. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, 28. And Jesus said unto them, 19:28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So what do you think those guys did when they heard that? All right. I'm going to sit up there, top seat here. I'm going to have great authority over all Israel because of what? Where I'm seated. That represents great power, great authority. So they were pretty excited about that. Again, the word kathizo is being used here for the word sit. Let's go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Looking at different examples. This is used all through the word here in the New Testament. Chapter 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So did somebody bring along Moses' seat from an old, you know, from way back when? No, a place of authority in Moses' seat. Okay, so I think we're getting a little bit of an idea of how we can use this word and how God uses this word to communicate authority. Now, the word kathizo is related to a Greek word, cathedra, cathedra. And there's an English word, cathedra. Now, it's a word we don't use very much, But it's a word cathedra, and its meaning is an official chair. Cathedra, an official chair, as a professor in a university or the throne of a bishop. It denotes authority. We have the Latin term ex cathedra, literally meaning from the chair, from the chair. Again, signifying authority, right? Signifying authority. Now, who's the top guy in the Roman Catholic Church? The Pope. The Pope. And when he says things that are going to, you know, mean everything and is going to set the law down, they say ex cathedra. It's from ex cathedra. This is from the chair. And that's the high place of authority. Now, what words do we get from cathedra, do you think? Cathedral. Cathedral. The cathedral in the Catholic Church is the principal church within a diocese. All right, a diocese would be an area where there's all these different churches. The main church would be the cathedral, and in that cathedral will be the chair of the bishop. And that's the place of authority. That's the place of authority. Now, isn't it interesting how we use English words today? You know, in business, we have somebody that's, we're organizing a meeting, and so-and-so is the chairman. He's the chairman. So the chairman is the top guy, right? He's the chairman. What about in our elections, in our government elections, if there's an incumbent, the new guy is trying to unseat him, right? He's trying to unseat him so he can sit in the chair of authority. Okay, so you can see how we use this word. Or maybe, what county is this? We're not in Delaware County. What? Franklin County. So where is the seat of government in Franklin County? You know, wherever that city is, but we say that's the seat of the government there. So we use this word to mean authority, to mean authority. Okay, now let's go to Ephesians. In light of understanding this a little bit better, let's go to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So, Jesus Christ, our brother, when he was raised from the dead and when he ascended up to be with the Father, where did he get to sit when he was raised up to be with the Father? The right hand. What a great place to be seated. And what did that mean for him to be seated at the right hand of God? Wow, he was placed above all principality and power, right? And it says, how much above? Far above all principality and power. You know, sometimes we watch these movies, and it's like the good guy is always, he has certain powers and abilities, and he does pretty good and stuff, and the bad guys, they have a lot of power and ability, and they're right in there close. And of course, you know, the bad guy, he does some things, and the good guy outthinks him, and he wins the battle, right? Well, in this case, where's Jesus Christ's power? Far above. No contest. The adversary is way down there, and Jesus Christ is way up here. That's far above, isn't it? So it's not any competition with the adversary in light of authority and power. Is he right up there, you know, and the believers are struggling because it's just a close? No, far above. I'm glad I'm tall. I could really illustrate this. Far above. Man, oh man, isn't that neat? All right. How do we fit into the picture here? All right, let's see how we fit into the picture. Where do we get to sit in all of this? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, let's verse 4. Let's start there. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. What's quickeneth means? Made alive. We're made alive with who? Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together. Okay. We're being raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Where's Christ seated? Where are we seated? We're right in his lap, I guess. I don't know. But man, oh man, what a place to sit. I'm not in the back row. Wow. The right hand of the Father in Christ. Wow. What kind of authority would we have? Are we far above all principality and power and might and dominion? We're seated at the right hand. Does that mean we have some authority? You bet. Wow. Pretty neat. That's where we're seated. Has raised us up together. It's sun kathizo. Sun together. Okay, seated together with. God just didn't sit us in the back row, though we deserved it, didn't we? You know, we don't deserve to even be in the same building, so to speak. But you know, God's grace and mercy, his love, he wants us right there, you know, with his son. We're sons too, aren't we? We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ, it says in Romans. That's where we're seated. Let's go to Hebrews, please. Boy, to be seated there, we have tremendous authority to exercise the power of God. He has seen us in Christ. We identify fully with Jesus Christ in that he died, we died. When he raised him from the dead, we got raised. When he set him at his own right hand, we are there too. Hebrews 10, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And I think those italicized words help communicate the meaning there. Once and for all, we are sanctified. Sanctified. What does it mean to be sanctified? Set apart, special, huh? Set apart, special. I like to think of it. Jeannie, my wife, has this nice, what do you call the thing where you put the dishes in? The hutch? Dishwasher. All right. We got somebody's practical here. Right on. All right, we've got, after we take them out of the dishwasher, and this is a special, special dish. We're not going to put it in the regular cabinets, are we? We're going to put it in that hutch or what is it? China cabinet. Oh, and we got this china cabinet, and it's got all these pretty dishes that we never use, and beautiful dishes, and it got a light in there, and it shines. Pretty special. Those are sanctified dishes. And that's who we are. We are sanctified in Christ. We are special. Don't ever think that you're, you know, down and out, nobody loves you, and you're not special to anything, you don't mean to nothing. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You're sanctified in Christ. You're special. You're special. Accept that. Believe that. That's what God's word says. Do you believe God's word? That's what it says. That's what it means. You're special. You're sanctified. Okay. So we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest sitteth daily ministering. What? Standing. Standing. The priest never sat down. There was no place for him to sit. They went into this tabernacle or in the temple, and they did their thing, but they had to stand. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And, you know, we see there's a sense of, you know, it's finished, it's done. But we also, it's sit down at the right hand of God here. That's a good place, representing power as well. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Are we seated there too? Right on. And who's under our feet? I got big feet here, so I can do some stepping down on the adversary. Yeah. For by one offering he hath perfected. One offering, our Lord Jesus Christ, he offered himself. By that one offering he hath perfected how long? Forever them that are sanctified. Are you sanctified? You're perfected forever. Man, oh man, that's you and I. That's a big deal. That's a very big deal with God. Speaking in tongues is a big deal, and being seated at the right hand is a big deal. All right, Hebrews chapter 1. Go back a few pages here. Whoops, I went too far. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. But to which of the angels, now you know, think about this, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstools? Did God say to the angels, hey, you've been doing a good job there, Michael? You're great. You've done a tremendous job. Hey, you've done so well, you deserve to sit here at my right hand. Did he do that? He didn't do that, did he? What about Gabriel? Gabriel's done a great job. How come Gabriel can't sit there? Well, that's not his job. That's not his place. You know, which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstools? The angels were not there. That's not them. Who is that seat reserved for? Jesus Christ and us. Jesus Christ and us. Are we special or what? And don't start thinking, you know, wait a minute, I'm not so special. I look back at what I've done in my life. That has nothing to do with it. What has everything to do with this is God's grace, his mercy, his love for you, and his passion for fellowship, to have you as his children. You know, we as parents, anyone in here who are parents, if your children do something bad, do you kick them out and disown them and have them sign a contract that you're not my kid anymore? No, no. Never let the adversary talk you out of where you're supposed to be seated. You're seated at the right hand of God. Man, isn't that neat? That's pretty neat. Let's go to Psalm 16. You know, since we've been seated together with Christ, we carry great authority. And really today, because we're here and he is up there, we are that authority on earth today. We have great authority because of where we're seated. But what are the benefits of being seated there? Great authority and stuff, but is there more to this? And there's something in Psalm 16 that describes what it's like to be in his presence. 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Wow. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So, you know, you might have a thought, oh boy, I'm sitting right next to God here. That's, I don't know how fun that could be. You know, he's right there looking at me and stuff. No. There's joy. Who's he looking at when he looks at you? Christ. He looks at the Christ within you. He looks at the Christ within you. And man, oh man, we should recognize that in the presence of our Heavenly Father is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forever and ever and ever. So it's a feel good all the time. All the time at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. It's pretty neat, huh? Wow. You know, the spiritual realities far outweigh the physical realities. I think we looked at this verse, or we shared this verse yesterday. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace, see? Boy, I know where we're seated now. I see that. You see that. But the spiritual reality of where you're seated far outweighs what's going on now, doesn't it? I mean, it should. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Yeah, I'm thinking this is nice being here. Really. It says in Ephesians 4:8, we're going to go to Colossians if you want to get a head start here. Go on to Colossians, but it says in Ephesians 4:8, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He led captivity captive. And I was thinking about that in light of being seated at the right hand of the Father, that he has led captivity captive. So there should not be anything that captivates us, that takes away from us. There should not be any attack of the adversary. Fear, guilt, condemnation, depression, none of these things can harm us because he has led captivity captive. He's led captivity captive. So those things are gone. Those things are gone. So we can be seated with great peace in our hearts because of that. Colossians, you're probably there, and let me get going there. Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians. Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. So if you're risen with Christ, and God's word says we are, we seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. your thoughts on things where? Above. On things above, not on things on the earth. Again, being spiritually minded. We're going to think about who we are in Christ rather than, you know, what we go through day by day. You know, whatever job we do, whatever activity we're involved with, we do it. We do it, but we do it with the knowledge that I'm seated at the right hand. I'm a son of God. You know, I've got power. I've got authority. And that's a great way to think. For you are dead, verse 3. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ. One translation says, is laid up in store with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Wow. See, we're going to be there at that wonderful gathering together. When Christ sat down at the right hand of God, we sat down with him. We have the authority now to use his name, which is above every name. It says in Philippians 2, 9 and 10, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. So man, oh man, we're seeing some great truths in God's word where we're seated here and who we are in Christ. We have the authority to use that name to bring healing to those who are hurt and sick. We can use that name to bring deliverance to those who are in captivity. We can use that name to bring salvation to the lost. We are the authorized representatives of Jesus Christ here on earth. We have the authority to use his name when needed. You know, it says verse 3 again, for we are dead and your life is hid with Christ. Your life is with Christ and he is seated at the right hand. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. That's the great gathering together time, isn't it? Man, oh man. And then things, you know, really open up for us. Christ is our life now and forever. Our true life is only found in Christ. As we change our thinking of who we are in Christ, raised, seated, the right hand of God, we can walk with great victory, can't we? Sure can. All right, what do we've learned today? I'm closing out here. What have we learned here? God has plenty of room for us, doesn't he? At the right hand, he sure does, and it's a great place to be, isn't it? Great pleasures forevermore. Oh my golly. Just a great place to be, and we have great authority. God lovingly desires us to recognize that we are special, we're sanctified, set apart. In his presence is fullness of joy, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. As we recognize who we are in Christ, that we are seated at the right hand of God, that we have God's authority to minister and to bring deliverance to God's people, then we will experience great fulfillment in our life. I'd like to close in 1 John 5:20. If you'd like to turn there. I thought this would be a great closing verse for us. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So I'd like to close with prayer. Heavenly Father, we are very, very grateful and thankful for who you've made us to be in Christ, that we can have all that you say we have, because we are your kids. And Father, to just see in our heart that we're seated with Christ next to you, that spiritually is the realities that count, that we're really there. And we're very grateful that you've done what you did with your son to make it all available. And Father, I pray that in light of all that you've done to make it available, that we would live it, we would utilize who we are in Christ to minister to other people, to move your word around the world. Father, we're very, very grateful to be your kids and to be seated at your right hand. And I pray and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right.
Okay. Why don't you stand, please, and either before you stand or after or during, turn to number 114. We're going to sing it twice to close out today. Joy, joy, joy. Thanks for coming today. God bless.